This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. I believe it's episode 124. I think so. I looked last night. It's been a few hours since then. It has dribbled out my ear, but I believe it is episode 124, which seems unbelievable. Anyways, it's been a good week. It's been a long week. Been banging away at trying to get some things solved and have gotten a good portion of them solved. There's still an outstanding issue between SharePoint 2010 and Google Maps API and Internet Explorer 8. A few little problems here and there with those things, but next week we'll have a confab. We will figure it out. The writing is going well. It's just always interesting. I'm writing away and trying to figure out how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that, and then just out of the blue, this phrase will crop up, and it'll be like, oh, hey, okay, we can do it that way, you know, that I take off down there. One of the things that I was puzzling over was how I was going to offer some explanation for Mary's behavior at the wedding of Canaan. That is a very odd miracle. It's very strange. Jesus basically says, it's not time yet, I'm not doing it. And then Mary, in good motherly fashion, goes and says, yeah, it's okay. Just whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And so she's put herself in this position of, doesn't really matter what you want, creator of the universe, I want you to do this. So it's very, very interesting. So, but I was thinking about it yesterday morning, I think. Yesterday morning, I was kind of thinking about it, rereading the passage again, and I thought, oh, I can do that. So that's, it's all going fine. Things are opening up. It's good. We are in the great decision-making process now. There's been a kitten that has ended up on our back porch. This is always an interesting process because Lynette, my wife, is scrambling around trying to find someone to take this kitten, all the while trying to keep herself from falling in love with the kitten. So we'll see how that goes. We may end up with a cat. I don't know. My wife is allergic to cats, so it will constitute a problem in the long run. However, the cat does seem to be a pretty good hunter. It caught itself a moth, a rather large moth, night before last, or last night, was playing with it, patting it around and pouncing on it, going all through the things that kittens will do with new toys, and seemed to be quite good at controlling the moth, which means it may be a good mouser. And one of the things that you can always use when you live in the country is a good mouser. So we will see. We will see. This last Sunday, we had dinner, as we usually do. First Sunday of the month, we usually have dinner at my mom and dad's house. And we were over there. And Lizzie, my daughter, had ordered some new books on child development. She's just keeping herself aware of what the current ideas are and thoughts and saying, okay, does this make sense and whether she's going to apply it. And she's been reading one book that she's come away with a lot of good stuff from. Lots of good stuff. I don't know what the name of the book is, but she's been sharing some of the things that have been said and, you know, makes perfect sense to me. And one of the things that she brought up was that this counselor was saying that you shouldn't really tell your kids that they're smart. That shouldn't be the first thing. When they do something well, you say, oh, you're so smart. What you should do is tell them that it's obvious they worked hard on that and they did a good job. And his justification for that was that if you just constantly tell people they're smart, they will adopt that as a mode of being. So they will assume that when things come their way, the answer will just come to them magically. Ding! Oh, there it is. And if the answer doesn't come to them magically, then there's really nothing they can do about it. They should just quit. Which, you know, I have to say, I have been around some people like that in my lifetime, that if they just apply themselves a little bit, they could get a lot farther than they were. On the other hand, this child psychologist said, if you continually reinforce the belief that the reason that you were able to accomplish this was because you worked hard to attain it, then when you hit something like that, the tendency will be to double down and say, all right, here we go. I'm going to work harder on it. I mean, I came up against something just like that this afternoon. It's fairly technical, so I don't know that I'll go into details because that would just bore everyone. But I was trying to get the Google Maps interface to work through SharePoint, and I had already tested it out outside of SharePoint. I had the script written. The script was working. There was no question that the script was working. It shouldn't have been any trouble at all. And yet, as soon as I plugged it into SharePoint, it broke. I could run the same script outside of SharePoint. It was fine, with the exception of one identifier was much longer than the other one was. And I chased this thing for probably 45 minutes, going back and forth, trying to say, okay, that's not it. And I went back to the old days of debugging, where you just sort of go one line at a time and comment it out and say, is it that line? Is it that line? Is it this line? Finally, I figured out what was going wrong. It was a very, very odd error. But got it taken care of. It's working, sort of, except Internet Explorer 8 doesn't work. But it was hard. I mean, I had no idea. And even after I knew how to fix it, I still don't know why that should have been a problem. And in fact, in JavaScript, in the language that it was written in, it technically should not have been a problem. Period. But it was. I had to put in a carriage return, which JavaScript should be ignoring carriage returns. But, you know, okay, so it wasn't, and I found the problem, and we move on. But I could have stared at that all day and not found the answer to that one without just working it out. Because even if Jesus had whispered to me and said, well, the problem is there, you need to put a carriage return in there, I would have said, no, it's not. Are you kidding? JavaScript doesn't mind or doesn't pay any attention to white space. So I'm just one moment. Okay, my buddy that I get together with on Thursday nights just texted me and said that he's not going to be able to make it, so, which is good, because I had assumed that we weren't going to make it, because I'm driving home. Anyways, so after my daughter had said that about the things, it had reminded me of an article that I had read several months back along exactly the same lines. And so I dug out that article last night, and I looked at, the salient points of the article, and in fact, it was exactly along that line. Although it didn't necessarily just say you need to be careful how you talk to your kids, this particular author brought it into the realm of, as a general rule, men and women approach problems differently. The article was called The Trouble with Bright Girls, and it was written by Heidi Grant Halverson. I found it, I think, on the Huffington Post. Very interesting article. And she starts off the article talking about the fact that, yes, we as women know that if we're working in a male-dominated profession, that as we're working in that male-dominated profession and trying to break through, that, in her words, we are routinely underestimated, underutilized, and even underpaid. Studies show that women need to perform at extraordinarily high levels just to appear moderately competent compared to our male co-workers. So she said, yes, we supposedly all know that, she said, but it's been her experience as she has been talking with women that, in fact, the biggest hindrance to women succeeding and the toughest hurdles they have to deal with are not necessarily external, but internal. And at this point in the article, I perked my ears up and I went, oh, yeah, there you go. Because that's like one of the big mantras of my life. Your biggest main problem is your flesh telling you you can't do something, you don't have the capability, you're going to fail if you do it, what will people think when you fail, blah, 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 keeping you all tied up in noise so that you won't go out and try things. What's interesting is in this article, she actually refers back to a study that her graduate advisor, psychologist Carolyn Dweck, author of the book Mindset. I haven't read the book, but it sounds like a good book. I may read it someday. Her graduate advisor actually conducted a series of experiments in the 1980s looking at how bright girls and boys in the fifth grade handled new and difficult and confusing material. And it was very interesting. What she found was that when bright girls were given something to learn that was particularly foreign or complex, they were quick to give up. And in fact, the higher their IQ, the more likely they were to throw in the towel quickly. And she said, sorry, I was at a stop sign. She said, most peculiar, it was the straight A girls who showed the most propensity to be completely helpless when it came to new material. Bright boys, she said, on the other hand, saw difficult material as a challenge and found it energizing. They were more likely to redouble their efforts rather than to give up. So she was trying to figure out, okay, so what's the difference? Why do I see this? And in her hypothesis, what she was talking about comes back to very much the same thing that this psychologist was talking about. That in fact, girls who develop self-control earlier and are able to follow instructions better are often praised for their goodness or for some inherent quality. Oh, you're so smart, you catch on so quickly, blah, 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 blah. Whereas boys being boys are not often told that they are so clever or are such a good student. A lot of the times, boys are kind of slacking off a little bit, distracted by a lot of things, and so teachers are constantly telling them, if you would just pay a little more attention to this, if you would just work harder, you'd be able to get this done. So according to this psychologist, her interpretation was that we tend to try to encourage boys to work harder, whereas when girls do a good job, we just say, oh, you're so smart. And what that eventually leads to is the expectation. Now, I don't know that this just necessarily applies just to girls and boys and bright boys. I mean, I think there is a larger scope here. And one of the things that is a great challenge for anyone who is gifted in any way and who excels quickly at any given field, one of the things that is definitely a challenge is that sooner or later, that person is going to hit some hurdle within that gifting that they're going to have to work at it. And when they hit that hurdle, that's really the crux of it. Then what are you going to do when you hit the hurdle? Because when you hit that hurdle, if you just kind of push it against it for a while and then you just get frustrated and give up, then you're never going to get across it. Many, many years ago, when I was working on the music notation software, the fact of the matter is, without God's direct help, I never would have been able to get that done, because I just had no tools and capabilities. And so for months and months and months, when I was working on that, whenever I'd hit a problem, I would get up, I'd go kneel down and say, God, if you don't help me with this, it's all over, because I absolutely don't know what I'm doing here. And he would speak to me and he would say, oh, it's here, it's there. And so I'd go back and that's where it was, and I'd just keep going. Well, that went on for a long time. But once I developed a certain skill set in it, it was really fascinating to me, because I did come across a problem at one point that I beat my head against that problem all day into the early afternoon, and I could not find a solution for it. And I would pray and there would be nothing. And at one point, I got upset enough that I can't remember if I said it out loud or if I just said it in my spirit, but I said, I don't know why you won't help me with this. I mean, I was a little upset. And at that point, God spoke into my spirit and said, if I don't help you, will you still love me? And I said, oh, well, yeah, of course. Because I had come to rely on the fact that anytime I was facing a hurdle, that I was just going to knock him right down. I was just going to go ask God. He was just going to tell me, ta-da, see, easy, yay. And God used that moment to pull back and say, work it out, work it out. And that experience of having to work it out really was good for me. Because there were things later on in life that just required me to persevere, not necessarily be spoon-fed all the answers. And so I have personal experience with this idea of when you start out gifted in something and everything comes easy and you're able to latch on to things far faster than your contemporaries, that there comes a point where you really need to learn the lesson that everything in life isn't going to be that way. I'm getting my mail. That there are going to be things in life where you are just going to have to buckle down and power through it. And so it was really good to have some of those things come along. And it's really good to have some of the things come along like came along this afternoon where... And there's no shortage of them in programming, believe me, where you're faced with something and it doesn't make any sense at all, and you just have to keep plowing till you get through it and figuring out what is causing the problem, even though you may not understand at the end of the day what happened there. So I'm backing into my garage one moment because this lady said something at the end that I thought when I read it, I went, oh yeah, that's absolutely right. Because what's interesting is she talked about at the end, I'm going to back into my garage here so I can actually get her quote, because it's a good quote. So at the end of the article, she wrapped it up with this, that Researchers have uncovered the reason for this difference in how difficulty is interpreted, and it is sharply this. More often than not, bright girls believe that their abilities are innate. I am on the wrong page. Sorry. Here we go. So, this long paragraph, but it's really good. How often have you found yourself avoiding challenges and playing it safe, sticking to goals you knew would be easy to you, for you to reach? Are there things you decided long ago that you could never be good at? Skills you believed you would never possess? If the list is a long one, you're probably one of the bright girls, and your belief is that you are stuck being exactly as you are, has done more to undermine the course of your life than you probably ever imagined. This would be fine if your abilities were innate and unchangeable, only they're not. Here's the quote. No matter the ability, whether it's intelligence, creativity, self-control, charm, or athleticism, studies show them to be profoundly malleable. When it comes to mastering any skill, your experience, effort, and persistence matter a lot. And I personally am working through that in a lot of different areas in my life, but I'm very much working through that in my running. Because someone had told me at some point, oh, when you turn 50, everything's just going to go downhill from there. And it was so funny because I turned 50 and then it was just so much harder to run. But of course it wasn't. It was all mental. And I have a hill that I have not run up after I had run continuously to get to it since I was 49, and I'm 52 going on 53. So it's been several summers. But I decided this summer was going to be the summer. And I've been working, and it's been a struggle, and I've been working. But I'm actually running all the way down to it at this point and running about a third of the way up that hill. And yesterday when I ran, I got to a third of the way and I thought, you know what? I could have taken several more steps. And even more interesting is the fact that many years ago, when I was running that hill consistently, running my 2.5 miles consistently, they were doing blood pressure checks after service at church. They had a healthcare ministry that would once a month do free blood pressure checks. And so I'd go in and, you know, get my blood pressure checked. And the male nurse who was taking my blood pressure and taking my heartbeat, he took my heartbeat and he just paused and he looked at me and he said, your heartbeat is 48. And I said, I run. And I said, you know, service, I'm always pretty relaxed after service. So, but my heartbeat had not really been down that low for a while. And I have, within the last few months, been consistently running, consistently working hard to push myself a little more, breaking a good hard sweat when I run. Last night I was talking to my wife and I happened to lean my fist against my throat and I felt my heartbeat and I thought, wait a minute. And so I looked down, started counting. My wife paused and she said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just checking. And my heartbeat was like at 40 beats per minute. And I thought, well, I think I'm making some progress. So I am encouraged with my little progress with running, and I am really hoping/determined to work on making this the year that I get back up that hill, having run all the way to it. And so if you've got something in your life that you're working on, just keep working on it. Keep pushing. You know, things will let loose. Because as the lady says, no matter what the ability, studies have shown them to be profoundly malleable. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.